Let's pray again. Father, as we were praising you, I was thinking about, again, the number of folks who have suffered from illness, and those who are making some life-changing decisions right now at home. And Lord, you know every need that we face. And we thank you, we praise you, that just as John leaned on you at the Last Supper, that we can lean on you in our spirits. That your word tells us to incline our hearts toward you. And I pray that for everyone who has been wrestling with illness, that you would be their place of rest, that you would be their place of hope and strength and healing. Lord, I know that sometimes when we struggle in our physical bodies, it's hard for our spirits. And so I pray an extra measure of your spirit to move and bless them wherever they may be. And Lord, I thank you that your heart is for those who are hurting, and that you are good. In Jesus' name. Amen. So there's an old story told about Grandpa who was taking a nap one day, and while he was, Johnny decided it'd be a good idea to get some Limburger cheese and just spread it right under Grandpa's nose. Grandpa, of course, didn't wake up at all, but he, starts to sputter a bit, and about 10 minutes later, he does, and it's, this room stinks! And then he walks out of the room and, he just looks around the house and says, "This house stinks!" And he walks out of the house, and then he steps out on his front porch and just throws the door open and just throws open his arms and says, "This whole world stinks!" Not knowing that, the problem was much closer to home than he realized. Ever have a morning like that? I did this morning. Woke up with a headache. Some things that, just little things that were not part of my routine, or that are part of my routine, were sort of out of kilter. And I'm one of those people who likes routines, especially in the morning. And, it's just the world stinks. I mean, we've been there. We've been there. And isn't it nice to come to church where we can just sort of put our best foot forward? The funny thing about that, though, is that sometimes as you do that, that's actually helpful, because you realize, wait a minute, I don't have to be such a cranky pants, things can be better. Every once in a while, you meet someone with such a truly beautiful outlook that it really makes you stop and think, oh, yeah. Or it may make you stop and think, well, I wish I were like that. Maybe someday when I grow up, The beautiful thing is that with the Spirit of God, this kind of outlook can show up in some very surprising places. In the wake of the Uvalde school shooting, there was a pastor from a neighboring town in Texas who was ministering to some of the people involved. And he had an interview on one of the major news networks, which was interesting because usually, I mean, the guys on the major news, the pastors they have come on the major news networks are either so bombastic that you're just thinking, oh my goodness, or, anyhow, he was a small town pastor. You could tell his hair wasn't perfect, his teeth weren't pearly white, his ears were large, and he wouldn't stand out in a crowd, but oh, he did stand out. Because the whole spirit about him was so clearly of the Lord. You could tell that while the interview was going on, the interviewers, and there was like a panel of them, were very quiet and taking notice. And you could just sense the spirit of Jesus about this man. And even when they handed off to the, you know, to the next reporter, her comment was, "That's a very special man." And you know, it was beautiful to see. I mean, he just had the peace of Jesus about him. It wasn't this, "Oh, I'm so happy to be on TV" kind of thing. You know, he answered tough questions thoughtfully, lovingly, wisely, according to the Word of God. And again, we want to be that person as we live in the world. And by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, it is possible. Again, our praise may be feeble, but as we give ourselves over to him, willfully saying, "Lord, I want to be yours. I yield myself to you." It's amazing the beautiful things that can happen. So as we go to our scripture this morning, there's a lesson in it. And it's not one to make us feel inadequate, although that's where people usually go with it. It's like, "Well, I wish I could do that. I can't do that." But it's one to encourage and inspire us. Because again, the same spirit that is at work in these men we're about to read about is also at work in us. And let's go there. Acts chapter 16. Acts 16, verses 22 through 30. Again, Acts 16, 22 to 30. "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods after they had been severely flogged. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, per Roman practice, by the way, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We're all here.' The jailer called for the lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" May we pray. Lord, thank you that you give us your spirit the moment that we receive you, that we become a new creation, and in you there is hope unlike any other place, hope that does not disappoint us because your love has been poured into our hearts through your spirit whom you have given us. So Lord, lead us there this morning as we look into your word. Bless us to live thus in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So you see the same response from the jailer that we were talking about, you know, the kind of thing that you know, that I saw in the people who were interviewing this pastor from Texas, he sees what Paul and Silas are like, and he thinks, I want some of that. I want to be like that. And there's no other explanation for it. This is clearly a spiritual moment. This is clearly the Spirit of God at work. After all, the prisoners he was charged with are still there. Why? How does that happen? If God was not at work, he could have just put them all back in chains and gone about his day. Why did they stay there to begin with? Something is going on. This is an interesting occurrence. And it's interesting that Paul also clearly cared about him. Don't harm yourself. Don't harm yourself. We're all here. And keep reading. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And then, of course, he asks them. You know, he brings them out and he asks them, what must I do to be saved? Okay, let's back up a little bit to see why this is so significant. They're in Philippi and they encounter a slave girl there who is demon possessed. And by the way, this is a very good case in point for never going to a fortune teller. Because she is following Paul and Silas and Luke around. She apparently is able, because of the demon, to tell futures pretty accurately. And she starts shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. And it's interesting, this goes on for a few days. And Paul doesn't do anything about it. I don't know. Is any advertising good advertising? Apparently not. Verse 18, she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. Now, that shows you a little bit about Paul, I think. You know, maybe he's not the most compassionate sort. He's not caring about her. He's just annoyed. I don't know. It's an interesting picture. But her owners are not exactly happy with this, and they grab Paul and Silas, and they drag them before the authorities in the marketplace, and they stir up the crowd, and the magistrate gets all caught up in the emotion, and he orders them to be stripped and beaten, and it's not just any beating. Luke says they were severely flogged. Now, the purpose of a flogging is, you know, not only discipline, it's usually to bring an individual, you know, it was said that 40 was the Roman number where, okay, that's it. And so if they're severely flogged, we don't know what exactly is happening, but they're hurting. And they're hurting badly. I mean, not only are they hurting badly, if you have been flogged like that, and by the way, isn't this an interesting kind of, just a sort of a side thing, but if we were, when we were talking about praising God, if anyone was feeling like, you know, I just don't feel like praising God this morning, why are you doing this? I'm just going to ask you. So were you flogged this morning? think of the times that we live in, right? Where so often we complain about the smallest things. Oh, I mean, they didn't give me the half and half that I wanted at Starbucks, and that was a microaggression, and I'm so upset about it. Okay, well, maybe not. look at these guys. They are severely flogged, and then their feet are put in the stocks so that you can't lie on your stomach and rest, which is the only way you could rest, with a raw back. And they're that way all night long, so what do you do? Of course! But there they are, singing praise to God, singing hymns. I mean, it's about midnight. Paul and Silas, verse 25, says it all. They're singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, you think? I mean, and if you just keep reading, you see that they were unjustly imprisoned, even for the brutal Roman system. So, they're sitting in pain with open wounds on their backs. And what they're thinking about, you could just sum up in four words. How good is God? How good is God? Why? How could they go there? I like what Ben Patterson wrote about this. He says, it was a joy grounded not in the present moment, but in the big picture. Clearly, the present moment was terrible, but it was temporary. What would last would be everlasting joy for a moment's misery on earth. Everything that mattered was guaranteed for Paul and Silas. Their sins were forgiven. They were assured of an eternity with God. Everything was fundamentally sound. Just a few passing details were askew. Patterson concludes, to not rejoice is to stifle joy. To rejoice is to open once again the fundamental perception, to open once again the soul's perception of how fundamentally great things really are. Paul spoke with great authority when he later commanded the church he had founded in Philippi. That's where they are. And here it comes. What verse in Philippi really ticks you off some morning, or in Philippians really ticks you off some morning? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. That's the context behind those words. It's amazing. And it's amazing because, again, this is the work of the Spirit of God in our souls. This is the work as we step forward into praise. I mean, again, what do you mean rejoice in the Lord always? I mean, we always want to qualify that one, right? But here they are doing it. I mean, it's this indomitable spirit. And I hope none of us ever go through what Paul and Silas did, but oh, to have their attitude. How great things really are. How great things really are. Praise God in that place. And hey, I know as we look at this, again, as I mentioned at the outset, I didn't want to be a travel agent for guilt trips here. That's not where we're going. Where we want to go with this is, yes, Lord, yeah, do this work in me. Help me to to love you like this. I want this. And know that as I say that, this is not saying, okay, well then, you know, it's like praying for patience. People always say this very unscriptural thing about praying for patience, you know. It's like, oh, that means that God is going to bring all kinds of difficulty. No, Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says that, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, that's the work of the fruit of the Spirit. That's a good thing. So, you know, Lord, help me to have a spirit of praise about me, this contagious spirit of praise. I please do this work in me, regardless of what's going on around us. Oh, that we still have something to be thankful for, to have that kind of laser focus. And for some of us, it may be harder than for others. You know, some of us naturally may struggle with depression or anxiety and be challenged in different ways. But the Spirit of God loves each of us so deeply and will work with us right where we are to bring us increasingly into His peace. And that's our deepest need. I know if I were sitting there with Paul and Silas, well, I know if I were sitting there alone, you know, at first I would be thinking, how unfair. I mean, after all, I'm a Roman citizen. How could they do this to me? Call my attorney! Right? They're not going there. I mean, they go there a little bit later, which is interesting, but right now they're praising God. And whatever our circumstances, our need is to sink our hearts deeper into this unseen reality, or perhaps better put, to have the Spirit lift our hearts increasingly into this reality. And how do we get there? We just start by doing it. Praise Him. Praise Him when life is unfair. Praise Him when people are unkind. I'm sure the reason why they were doing it was that they were considering that the Lord was counting them worthy of having suffered for Him, for sharing the gospel, because Paul talks about that in other places. Praise Him when you are physically hurting. Praise Him when you don't know what the future holds. That's their perspective. And the reason they can do it isn't simply because this is a power of positive thinking thing that we will ourselves up into. It's because it is by grace you are saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And so you and I are meant to live increasingly into that gift. Please don't be discouraged by this, because this is what we are meant for. Keep reading in verse 34. You see these words about the jailer. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Here's a guy who just a couple hours earlier is willing to fall on his sword. And now he's praising God, filled with joy. And it's beautiful, because what he had to see was the Spirit of God at work in Paul and Silas, regardless of their unthinkable circumstances. And the beautiful truth is As Paul writes in Jude 24, that he who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion. That God will do this work in you and me. He's faithful to carry it on. He wants to do this work in us. We're not asking for something that he would somehow give begrudgingly. There is this contagious joy about the Spirit. It's what we were given when we received him. By the way, mistake I want to correct. It was Jude's words, he who began a good work in you. But let's just wrap up today with these words from Paul, Philippians 4, verse 4. Because again, remember, that's our context. That's what he's writing later to remind them of. This is what the Spirit of God does in us. It's like he's saying, remember what happened there in the jail with the jailer? And the cool thing is that when he writes those words, that jailer is part of the church in Philippi. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May we pray. Lord, as I read those words, I think, on my own, that's a heavy lift. I can't bench press that. But I praise you, it's nothing for you. I praise you that when life presses down on us, that in your Spirit, there is love to lift us into hope, because things are fundamentally sound. Our souls have been saved. We have you to look forward to. The beauty of your peace even breaks in now, like the sun coming up, changing the whole panorama. So do it again, Lord, we pray. Do it again in us, this work of praise, this contagious work of your Spirit. Let it be seen. Let it be known. Let it be caught. And let others say, what must I do to be saved? Because it's clear that you're right there in us and in your joy. And this morning, as we've been going over these words, if they have struck a note that is of the Spirit, and he would call you into joy, remember again what happened with the jailer in Philippi. Let me read those words again. Verse 34, he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Lord, if there's someone wrestling in this place, wondering, could it be true? I want that. Lord, I pray that even now you would move in their spirit as we're
before him, "Dear one, I would encourage you. Go to him. Be real about any questions. Be honest about just who we all are, that we sin and that we need a Savior. And that is why Jesus came. And if you come to him now, he'll lead you. He'll help you figure it out. He'll bless you. And our part is to just say, yes, Lord, yes. Help me to turn from sin, to turn to you. And help me to learn how to love you. Lord, thank you that you are so good. We do praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Peace, we're about to sing.